For 15 years, Barkindji artist Kent Morris has been visiting prisons in Victoria, sharing his passion, his companionship and craft. And in the process, he's helped fellow First Nations men and women feel greater connections with family, culture and country. It's also helped foster connections of his own after his indigeneity was kept from him as a child. His Indigenous-led art organisation, The Torch, allows inmates to earn an income from the sale of their work, and recidivism rates are down. I'm very pleased to say that Kent Morris is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. G'day, Kent. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Hi, Sally. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. Your dad was from northwest New South Wales. How old were you when you finally found out about your family on your dad's side, Kent?
I was about 11 years old, and there was an unannounced stop off in Bourke on the way back from Butterham in Queensland, where my mum's parents had moved to. And my sister and I grew up thinking he only had one set of grandparents. Dad was a bit of a mystery and never really talked much about his family. So we dropped into Dubbo on the way home, and this was the first time Dad had seen his mum for around 17 or 18 years. We'd never met Nan before. We were not able to meet Pop, unfortunately. He was a renowned Aboriginal stockman. But this was the moment in time where we finally understood where we were from, but at the same time had no idea about it. This meeting didn't go very well for Dad, unfortunately. I don't think it went well for everybody collectively in terms of the family histories that Dad and Nan and his sister Auntie Kate had shared. So my sister and I were really none the wiser, except for the fact that we knew Dad was Aboriginal, we were Aboriginal, and we had Aboriginal grandparents.
What did you understand your family history to be prior to that on your dad's side?
Oh, it was just a mystery. People would and ah, and it wasn't really a huge issue as a young person. But as time went on, there was just always questions around, was he Moroccan? Was he from the Middle East? People were interested to try and understand where he was from and who he was, but he remained pretty tight-lipped about that for reasons which would become very apparent to us after he passed.
How do you best describe to people the depth of that feeling of cultural disconnection when people are not exactly sure where they're from, or some of those family lines have been disrupted, severed or lost?
Well, look, from personal experience and what I've experienced working with First Peoples in prisons across Victoria and learnt across my journey is for us as the First Peoples of this country, our connection to country and to family and to community and culture is central to who we are. So you really feel that loss, and there feels a great gap between who you think you are, who you are, what you know, what you don't know. There's a great sense of discomfort and not feeling a part of place and community.
What was it like for you if you got questions from people within the community about where you're from, who's your mob, those kind of questions?
Well, look, interestingly, two of those questions were central to the whole journey. So a Gurindji fellow who I had not met previously, I bumped into him at our apartment block. He was helping a friend move down from the Northern Territory. He just pointed at me. He said, "Where are you from, brother? Who's your mob?" I think he well knew that I didn't know and I couldn't answer those questions. I mumbled something about Nan and Dubbo and went upstairs and wished to hide in a cupboard never to be seen again. But those two questions set in a whole raft of events that would lead me to be working at the Koori Heritage Trust, to have the Aboriginal community of Victoria, particularly around the Koori Heritage Trust, kind of wrap themselves around me as they did with so many of us who have had these disconnections, and put those pieces of the puzzle and identity, family, country and culture, and strengthen you to become who you might become if you knew who you were and where you were from.
What sort of role did art play for you when you were trying to put some of those pieces together, Kent?
Yeah, look, interestingly, earlier on it was just a place to feel safe, to kind of hide, to just to be away from the world. I was incredibly introverted as a kid, you wouldn't know now. But again, this is a result of building of that cultural confidence and self-esteem and cultural pride. So art was a bit of a refuge for me, and I hid in there. After Dad passed unexpectedly, I stopped making art for around 20 years because I really didn't understand what I was doing. You know, I was just trying desperately, I guess is the word, to make art and to almost in a sense to be seen. But when Dad passed, I thought all the questions that I had around our history and identity and his life, I'd never find those answers. Fortunately, that wasn't the case. And through community connection and all of this wonderful process that we have organically, given how much damage has been done to our family histories and connectivities with removals and separations in so many different ways, that these organic processes within our community rebuild us. And so many stories, mine is just one of many. Some people would say, gee, it's a unique story. You should write a book. And I'd say, you know what? It's not an uncommon story. It's a very, very common story for us. So those elements led to me remaking art again after 20 years. There was a strong incentive and encouragement that as an artist, I had a responsibility within the community to express stories and share experiences and knowledge.
How did you start working in the prison system, Kent?
Well, one thing leads to another, as they say, Sally. And one of the things I learned early on in my cultural journey where I would just listen, watch, learn, is that once you find out who you are and where you're from, once you have those cultural connections, a pathway and a role in the community will open up. And this is what happened in terms of my journey. And the role to build a pilot program to support First Nations people experiencing incarceration, not only, you know, to run the program in prison, but in community and try and find a way to build something that would impact on the extreme incarceration rates and very high recidivism rates, came to me, I thought, a bit early, and I was reluctant to apply for it. But with, again, encouragement from community and building my confidence and self-esteem, I applied for that role and was fortunate enough to be given the responsibility to build that pilot program. That's over 15 years ago now.
The organisation is called The Torch. It's a not-for-profit. How does it work? What do you do when you're inside the prisons?
Well, we do what those experiencing incarceration Express would work for them way back in the pilot program phase. I went out and just, again, listened and learnt, and we talked about our journeys, and we had so many similarities many times over. But the defining aspects that the men, women and non-binary mob in the program thought would work was that we need to understand who we are, where we're from. We need to have cultural information, and we need to find those stories and the knowledge we haven't had or have had and lost or displaced or has gone wandering to inform what we're doing. We know that creating art's part of our culture and it does something for us. We feel good and we know there's something in it, but we really don't know what we're doing. It's very similar to what I was doing a long time ago. Also, we need to make some money. We need to change our circumstances because we come out of these prisons here, we're dropped at the gate, and we pretty much go back to the same circumstances as led us here in the first place. We need to build an economy. We need some economic independence and stability. And so the arts industry became a very central point of discussion. And those two foundations, cultural learning, building economic independence and self-determination, are still the central forms of the program. So we go into all the prisons in Victoria. We deliver the program as best we can with the now extraordinary numbers that are connected to it. In any one year, we'll have contact with over 800 First Nations people in prison and in community. Artworks are created, exchanges and information and mentorship is provided. Those artworks come to The Torch. They either come for exhibition or they're on our online gallery, opportunities for licensing in the in-community program. Well, there's major public commissions. There's a whole raft of supportive processes that began from me just going in and listening to those who were experiencing incarceration, what they thought would work for them, and then trying to implement it.
You're listening to Changing Australia on Radio National Breakfast. My guest today is Barkindji artist Kent Morris, who's been helping First Nations people in a Victorian prison system through art. What sort of effect has the program had? What does the evidence tell you?
Well, look, we've just had a huge evaluation land on my desk. This is a third in a series of evaluations, and I can tell you the core outcomes haven't changed since the pilot program. There's a huge reduction in reoffending and recidivism rates from the average around 60 to 65% for our people. This sits around 20 to 25, and that's with the extraordinary numbers we have in the program. Increased sense of well-being, health across physical health, mental health, cultural health, particularly economic health, and the benefits for those, not only for the individual, but for their relationships to their family, to their community and to the broader community. Everyone that participates in this program, and it's a voluntary program, you don't get any extra marks for participating in the program, but the passion and the commitment of those in the program to change their trajectory, to free themselves from what is a very discriminatory legal system in this country for First Nations people, and to buck the trend around closing the gap where the rates of incarceration keep rising, deaths in custody keep rising. Here's the answer built by those in it to change their trajectory, and all of this comes out in our evaluations.
The annual exhibition showcasing inmates' work is on in Melbourne now. It's called Confined. What do you hope that people will take away from this year's event?
I hope they take away an artwork is what they should take away. There's 501 extraordinary artworks in this exhibition by 424 unique artists. So I hear often in the media and just even through community that a lot of First Nations people say, well, we don't really know any Indigenous people. Well, here's the chance to know 424 of them through their artworks and those that are working hard to close that gap and to build a different Australia in a way, to really find a way to move from being the most incarcerated race on the planet to those that make up around, you know, our general population, 3% of the prison population, not 34%. So I always say, come to the Confined 17 exhibition, support the artists if you can, support the torch, because then you're actively involved in creating change and closing that gap.
What's it been like for you seeing the change in individuals who are in the prison system?
I really don't think there's words to describe it. It is, well, look, I think what it really is, what really warms my heart around the validation and the proof that programs for our community in very difficult areas and circumstances, and incarceration is one of them that the nation just won't face, the solutions are here. It's not an intractable problem. I see people in this program changing their lives for themselves with the support of the torch, and again, thus changing the lives for their families, communities, the broader community. Artists are coming out, they're creating economies by being artists. It's not set up for everyone to come out and be an artist. We just want people, as I did in a way, to find their pathway. So people are going into education, employment, training for the first time in non-art related areas. Some are pursuing arts industry opportunities as well.
Ken, it's been great to have you on the program this morning. Thank you so much and good luck with the exhibition.
Thanks, Sally. Appreciate it.
It's Kent Morris there, Barkindji artist and creative director of this organisation called The Torch. And the exhibition, the Confined exhibition, is now on until June 14 at the Glen Ira City Council Gallery in Melbourne. Or you can view it online. And Kent's own Flower Power exhibition is also on at the Vivian Anderson Gallery in Melbourne until June the 20th.